land. So we'll now look at some of the capabilities. So the first one that I would call out is the EAI service, the Enterprise Application Integration. So what we provide is an SDK into Visual Studio 2012, and you have a configuration surface where a bridge configuration surface where you can design your flow. So there will be a bridge. We'll look at what a bridge is. But think of loosely as like you define a flow like with a pipeline and a transport put in, but not exactly the same. But you would define your flow in a more drag and drop interface. We would support many of the out-of-the-box patterns. We are adding more support for a set of transports, simple patterns where you want to do message in, message out, you want to fan out, you want to do batching. Some of those capabilities are provided out of the box. There are also a bunch of on-premise line of business LOB adapters that we provide. This is actually a service that runs on-premise, so you can use the BizTalk adapter service. From the cloud, you can connect to your line of business systems running on-premises. The second key set of services is the B2B service. So for folks familiar with the EDI functionality in BizTalk server, many of those are lit up in a web-based management portal. So you can create trading partners, you can create agreements. We support X12 and Edifact is on the roadmap. And we also support transport, like you can use AS2, FTP, and we also introduce SFTP as the transport. We do the set of functionalities related to B2B, primarily archiving of the message. When there is an ACK, be it a functional technical ACK, you would correlate that ACK with the message, expose that functionality as part of the tracking data that you can use for custom tracking information. And also we support, with AS2, we support NRR. This is mostly non-repudiation of receipt. That's part of the protocol. We ensure that we have that data, the MDNs, stored in the archiving database. Finally, it is an extensible platform, and this is a big shift. For those of you who have seen the Service Bus EDI, EDI Labs, it was, in some sense, a closed environment. So and the biggest feedback we heard was make it extensible. All ISVs wanted the platform to be extensible. So yes, you can write your own customizations. Customizations itself is supported at different levels, right? You can write your own scripting in transforms, right? You can put a scripting functoid, add C# scripts to it, and there you go, you can extend the functionality of maps. You can write your own custom DLLs. So the whole configuration surface known as the bridge supports extension between different stages using what are known as interceptors. We are not going to go much deeper into it, but if you guys are interested, I'll be more than happy to talk about it offline on the what and why of extensibility. We also have extensibility in terms of the OEM API, the Trading Partner Object Model API. So what you can do is now you can create your trading partners and manage your trading partners using an OEM API interface. So that's another shift from the server land where it continues to be not supported in terms of the OEM API, but we'll ensure that there is parity between both the worlds. Any questions so far? Yeah. Yeah, so the question is there extensibility support for at the transport level, for example, writing your own custom adapters? Not at the moment, but that is a big ask that we've heard of. So we are working on coming up with a functionality similar to the SDK that we have for server, right? Writing your own adapter framework, BAF SDK. Right? So we are looking at it, and that should light up in the following update. Any other questions? Okay, so this is an interesting slide. So this talks about the pricing for BizTalk services. Think of the four pillars that you see as they are the different SKUs that we offer. So we have developer SKU, basic SKU, standard SKU, and premium SKU. Each of this has different set of metrics, right? Some have support, some are available without SLA, with SLA. the scale out and all of that. So let me go through this metrics. So firstly, there is the price that is mentioned. So that's the pricing for preview. And typically, from what we've seen, preview is 50% of what we offer during GA. The interesting part is the price is prorated on an hourly basis. So if you scale up your system for 15 days during your peak holiday season and then you bring it back, you would be charged for those 15 days at the scaled amount. And then once you scale back, the pricing would match your current scaled environment, right? So primarily, the developer's queue is something that you would start to try out the functionality. It contains all of the features that we offer in the premium. So think of the premium as containing all of the functionalities, the EAI, EDI, all of the transport, archiving, maximum number of agreements, bridges, adapter connections, and all of that. That's available in the premium SKU. The developer SKU has the same capabilities, but it does not have scale out, right? So it has its own internal VMs. You cannot scale them. And you cannot go production with the developer SKU, right? The developer SKU is priced at about $48 per month. So this is like a good try. If you have the Azure, the $200+ that you get credit every month, this is probably your best bet to try things out and understand the product. Right? Next one is the basic. The basic offers primarily the EAI functionality. So you can do XML messaging, flat file messaging, in and out, and there's a certain amount of restriction on the number of bridges that you create, right? And you can go GA and, there's an availability SLA that's tied to all of the SKUs once we enter GA. The standard SKU is, in some sense, a more performant version of the basic SKU. It contains the configuration within the standard SKU is based on high-end machines. And there is scale-out functionality. You can scale up to 4 units. And the definition of a unit is when you start off with a SKU, you get one standard unit. So you could scale that 4 times. So all of those numbers you see below, the 125.5, they would increase by a factor of your scale, right? So that's the standard SKU. The standard SKU also only contains the EAI functionality. Again, XML messaging, flat file messaging, all of the transport. You can do custom code in actually all of the SKUs. And there is no agreement EDI functionality in the standard SKU. The premium SKU is the high-end SKU. It's about $3,000 for preview. And you can go production. You can scale up to 8 units. Now, the VMs and the infrastructure that's provided as part of the premium is much more than the standard SKU. It's highly scalable. And we would be releasing performance numbers, by the way, for these SKUs, so more of a guidance, right? And the restriction on the bridges and the agreements comes into play and it's at a higher number. Any questions on this? Yeah. Which one will change? Well, we are always welcome to feedback. The whole reason we call it a preview is it's more of a dialogue. We would definitely want to get your feedback. But if there's a strong reason that you feel that, hey, I need, like you said, the EDI functionality in low-end SKU, please get it and talk to us offline, and we'll be happy to engage. Yeah. Well, the question is, how will the price level change? Will it be the same, or will it change over time? At the moment, there's no indication of the changes in the price. This is the price that we will go for, is for preview, and we'll go in for GA as well. Like I said, GA is, this price is 50% of the GA price. Yeah. What does that mean? Okay, so the question is, what does the number of connections using BizTalk Adapter Service mean? I'll show the functionality in the demo, but think of it as establishing a connection from your on-premise system to the cloud. That happens over relay, and that's one connection. So if you were to connect multiple line of business system, each time you run that configuration, your count is incremented by one. So that's the count that we're talking about. each endpoint would be treated as a connection. Any other questions? Okay. So what we will do is we'll quickly look at how do you create your own BizTalk services deployment, right? We've talked about what it is, what is the pricing. Let's see how we can quickly create a whole deployment for BizTalk service. So what I'm going to do is I have my Windows Azure environment. So this is the Azure portal. What you see is BizTalk services right here. Right? And you can start by creating a new BizTalk services environment. So the way this lights up in your Azure portal is there's a sign-up page. You have to make a request, and usually that's approved in the back end once we look at your scenario. And then you can try out this functionality. This lights up in the Azure portal. So we would start off by going to New, App Service, and you see there is a BizTalk service. And you go ahead with the custom create option. The first thing that you would enter is the BizTalk service name, right? So this is a unique name that they would key in for most other services as well. So let me try TechEDU. Yeah, that's available. And you can choose your domain URL. So the domain URL is the concept where, I'm sure you're familiar with it if you've tried out blobs, media services, and others. So the endpoint that you expose to your customers need not be the URL that you see here. It need not be techedu.biztalk.windows.net. You don't have to say that, hey, it's running on biztalk.windows.net. You can shield that information. You can create another DNS entry in your servers for the sites you own. Create a CNAME entry for, you know, in this case, let me go ahead and key in www.wapstest.info. So this is a domain I own, and all you need to do is create a CNAME entry that says, okay, now you have to map www.wapstestinfo to the biztalk.windows.net URL. There is some time for the whole propagation within the DNS system, so that has to be done offline. So once that is done, you can key in your domain URL. Point to note, this is a HTTPS URL, so at a later point, you'll be asked for a certificate that matches this domain name. If you hadn't chosen a domain name that's different from the BizTalk services name, you can upload a self-signed cert. You can just do a make cert, create a self-signed cert that's valid less than 5 years, and you can upload it. So that's a .pfx file. So in this case, I have changed the domain name, so I would be asked for a certificate at a later stage. The SKU itself, the ones we discussed, there is developer, standard, basic, and premium. Let me start with developer. You can choose the region. Let's say you choose North Europe. And you can choose a SQL DB. So this SQL database is used for tracking. So what we ask the user to input a SQL connection string to a SQL database. And we write the message properties and into that SQL tracking store. So there's another management of that SQL store. We have some tools for you to manage that SQL store as well. So I'm going to create a new SQL store. Yeah, it gives me the database name. Let me create a new database. That would be me. I'll create the password. I'm not going to configure advanced setting. This is essentially choosing your editions and the default size. You can change that later. I'm going to skip that checkbox. Click Next. And what you need here is an access control space, ACS namespace. So every endpoint that is exposed in BizTalk services, let's say you deploy something, you create a bridge. So the endpoint of that bridge where you process messages is secured by ACS. So any application, external application that's trying to communicate to that endpoint needs to first get a token from ACS and present that token to the BizTalk deployment for authentication, right? So this is one of the prereqs. So you would have to have that created beforehand. So I'm just going to open a new tab. And I have a pre-create DNS, but just making sure that I have the right management credentials. So you can go to the Active Directory link. I'm going to use one that's already there. So click on Manage. So this opens the manageability surface for my ACS namespace. You would have to go to Management Service, click on Management Client. So the name that you have is the management client is what you key in into the access control space. So what I'm managing is BizTalk TechEd demo. So I'm going to key in the management name as management client, right? I go back here, click on password, do a show password, copy this string, come back here, and key that in here, right? So that's my ACS configuration. I'm also asked for a monitoring and archiving store, right? So this is the information into my storage account. The intent is twofold. One is the tracing information that I mentioned earlier. When you have custom code and you want to be able to have the service writing the traces into your account, you would key in this information. The second requirement is for the message itself. When you have archiving enabled, we archive the message and write it into the blob store using this storage account credentials. For now, I'm just going to use an existing one. Yeah, it's going to complain that it's not in the same region. So think of this warning as, you know, typically you incur charges when your transfer happens outside your data center. So that's the warning there. Go to click next, and this is the certificate that I mentioned earlier. So I'm going to browse for a cert. Make sure you choose all files, and then you can choose your cert, and you key in the password for that certificate, right? So this takes a while, right? So this takes about 30 minutes to complete the whole deployment process. So I have one already deployed, so let me go into that. So once you have your deployment active, what happens is I can click on dashboard, and it tells you statistics about your deployment, right? So for example, you can know the virtual IP of your BizTalk deployment. This is an interesting information, right? So let's say in an enterprise scenario, you have your customers talking to your deployment. So typically they might have firewall rules where they want to allow, restrict the information to certain IP. So you can provide them this IP and they can use IP-based firewall based on this information, right? You can also see that the service URL that is shown here is not the Windows.net, but it's the domain URL. And this is something that you can share to your customers saying, hey, the www domain under the WAPS test site is what is referred to the BizTalk deployment. The edition, the date, the ACS namespace. You have the ability to update your tracking database information and also update your SSL cert in case your cert has expired and you need to create a, update the cert information. So if you go to monitoring, you already saw the graph. I just want to show that you can add new metrics. So this is the set of all metrics that you can use out of the box. But then the tracking DB is already made available to you. So if you want to compute business metrics, things like, hey, how many partners signed in to my application, or what was the last value of the purchase order that I got? So things of that sort can be built by reading the tracking DB, right? So, and of course, we have scale. Like I said, this is a developer edition, so I won't be able to show you a scale, but if it were standard and premium, so you could scale it up, save your changes, and that would be reflected in your environment. So it's pretty simple. Just key points, you need to know whether you need custom domain URLs, and if you do, you would have to have a certificate, trusted certificate, or you would need to create a self-signed certificate. Second, you need to have the proper ACS credentials beforehand, and three, your SQL tracking information and your storage account for completing the deployment. So it's a fairly simple process, and you can get your deployment in 30 minutes. Any questions on this? Yeah? Okay, so the question is, hey, what's happening in the backend? Are you using BizTalk server at all in the backend? The answer is no. This is we are not using any of the Bistock server setup. It is primarily we are setting up a pure PaaS environment with the services for completely, you know, it's services, but functionality-wise, it's very similar to server, but there's no relation between, we are not installing server bits at all. It's not. Right. Right. Yeah, engineering-wise, that's an efficiency internally to our end. And when we started off with, yes, we did take some of the Bistock code base and you know, shaping it up in a service form. So yes, going forward, you would see some of the functionality light up in both the products, and that's the intent, right? We always call it one Bistock, so the functionality is same in both the products. Yeah, can I hold on to that question? There's a slide coming up just on that, and I'll address that in a minute. Okay? So just to quickly show you, I created the whole WABS DNS test info, right? So I do have a CNAME record that maps my www.wabstest.info to my Windows test deployment. The exact process, how you do it, is specific to a DNS server. In this case, I have created my own site information using a third-party service, but yours could be different. And I also have created a cert for a specific www domain that maps to the HTTPS, and this was what was uploaded as a PFX in the creation wizard. Okay, back to the slide deck. So what we'll do is, in the next 5-10 minutes, we would look at some of the key concepts. You know, we saw how you create a deployment. Now, what do you do with that deployment? What are the pieces within that deployment that can help you in building the service, right? Well, this is the high-level blockitecture of the pieces that are available in the services deployment. So on your left-hand side, you can see there's a portal-based configuration. You can create using AUX. There is also a manageability Bistock portal for configuration of the artifacts and bridges. Then there is a Visual Studio surface for designing your end-to-end flow. And we also support PowerShell for you know, managing your service as well as managing your configuration for the Bistock adapter service in case of LOB interactions. Right. And the three pillars you see, there's B2B service, bridges, and artifacts. I wouldn't want to go deeper into each of this, but there are slides coming up that talks about what each of this mean, right? So essentially, you would create a bridge, and there is a service for B2B and a bunch of artifacts that support the service, you know, things like your certificates, assemblies, schemas, and maps, right? And the service itself uses a bunch of configuration. You saw all of this in the creation of the deployment, like you saw the SQL tracking store. The config store is something that's internal to us when we create the deployment, and the monitoring store is what you input for the tracking the storage account credentials. Right. So let's look at the concepts. Right. So what is a bridge? Right. So the bridge is a fundamental building block for Bistock services. So whenever you want to do message processing, you would start off by creating a bridge, and simply put. A bridge is composed of three parts. There is a source, there is the all-familiar pipeline, and there's a destination. Loose translation is the source and destinations can be mapped to ports with their own transport. But in this case, in the cloud world, I can say blob is my transport, right? Well, yes, I could light up a port with blob as well, but think of source and destinations as ports. Pipeline is where the message processing happens, very similar to the Bistock server land. You have a series of stages. Each stage has a defined functionality, and the entire configuration is called a template. And the template pattern that we support is fixed today, and it's called VETER, validate, enrich, transform, enrich, and route. So the validate is for validating the message, enrich is for promoting a property, transform is for using a map, and route is for fanning out, you know, message out based on a set of rules. That's the high-level concept of a bridge. Going deeper, the source is where the message comes in. Every source, every bridge has one HTTP, but you can tie in many sources into that endpoint. The example given here is you can use FTP as, SFTP, HTTP. You can configure different sources for multiple of these and have them wired into your bridge configuration. We'll see this in a demo. And the concepts will be clear at that point. Then there are destinations. Destinations are where the message is sent to, and sending of the message is defined by a route filter, so you can define regular expressions that say, when this matches, send the message to A, when something else matches, send the message to B. Right. So now, here we support blobs, service bus, SFTP, whole bunch of adapters on the destination side. Then there are pipelines. Like I said, this is the VETE. The route is actually external to the pipeline in some sense because you're routing the message out of the bridge. It's composed of stages, and stages are nothing but activities. The whole configuration is built of a WebF stack, so it is composed of these stages and activities. And between each of these activities, like between V and E or E and T and T and E, you can hook in your custom code. So using what is known as interceptors, you can plug in your code that says, after we finish your custom code and then come back to you. Okay. Again, this is familiar to all of you since you have the BizTalk server background. So you can have properties which are promoted as part of the message flow. You can do that in the E stages that you saw earlier. And each of these messages are tracked as part of every stage as it moves through the message flow. The source of the property itself can be from different ways. So like, for example, you can look at a message header, and you say this HTTP header needs to be promoted every time this message comes in. There is also the notion of promoting based on XPath. So once you have the XML payload within the message, you can provide an XPath to that property and have it promoted as part of the message flow. You can do data lookups. As part of data lookups, say you have an SAP to a custom ID that's being stored in SQL Azure, you can have a data lookup into that SQL Azure DB and have that promoted as part of your message flow. And there are also a certain amount of system properties that we promote. Like, for example, if it's B2B, there's the AS2 from or the X12 sender receiver IDs that are promoted as system properties as the message flows through. Like I mentioned, each of these properties are used in filters, in routing, or you can use them in maps. You can actually have a context accessor that can actually read the properties. And we also support taking those properties and writing it back to the target destination. So let's say if the destination is blob, we write the properties into the target blob store. If it is a service bus queue, we convert that properties into brokered properties, and we write it into a queue and topic so you can access the same properties outside of the bridge as well. Any questions at this point? Okay. And transformation. So transformation, so we do have a graphical interface to define a map, very similar to what you have, you know, the BTM designer in the BizTalk server land. But in this case, we have the TRFM, short for transforms. The functionality is very similar. The underlying engine is different. Going back to the question regarding the parity, what we are trying to do in terms of the long vision is make sure that TRFM can support transforms other than XML to XML messaging. So I can have, a good example is JSON, right? You want to connect with devices, you would have JSON coming in or JSON going out. Can I take that JSON payload and map it to an XML or vice versa and have that defined in the map? So that's the vision for where this transformation is going in, and hence required a rewrite in the engine. But rest assured, the functionality between the two will be the same going forward. Short term, we have a tool that we provide that converts a BTM into a TRFM. So taking a map that is in BizTalk server, you can convert it to a map in BizTalk services. So in terms of the functionality, especially with respect to scripting and XSLT, we support custom XSLT that you can add into TRFM. And you can also add scripting functoid and C# scripts in it. Similar to the server land, we have the test map functionality where you can load a message and have the map run locally in your Visual Studio environment and validate the output of the result. Interestingly, the TRFM map supports two functionalities. I'm not sure if it's visible on the picture on the right. So that's for each and map each. So typically when you're dealing with a large number of list data, the functionality in TRFM is more intuitive. If there's a parent-child relation and a sibling, brother-sister kind of relation on the RHS, the way you do the map is very easy to do. You can see the box on the right here. So you're actually mapping that whole list into the target functionality on the right. It kind of reduces the clutter and it's more usable, and you can figure out what's happening in the map as opposed to one node from every node here to one node on the other hand. So it's much more usable in the new world. Any questions? Yeah? Yeah, it's not XSLT, it's our own engine, and so, yeah. Yeah, so we ensure we don't regress in the performance. That's a criteria that we all, since we are introducing a new engine, we ensure that we don't regress it with the product that's already shipped. Yeah? I'm sorry, could you please repeat the question? I got the first part, support for... Mm-hmm. Yeah. So JSON, by the way, is not supported out of the box at the moment. So when it will, yes, so you would have to have your own schema and have that being available as part of the map. Yeah.
Same question about CSV, flat file are we do that today?
Yeah, so you can use, the question is how do we do CSV-based messaging today? You can do that. So we support flat file in as opposed to XML in. So all you have to do is we have the familiar flat file wizard that takes in the, you know, let's say CSV and generates the XSD for the CSV. You upload that XSD into your project, define your maps, do all of that. When you send the message, you define the content type as text.plain as opposed to application XML. And internally, we recognize that's a flat file message instead of XML, and we do the processing. Yeah, so the question is there a way to migrate the BTM map into the TRFM? Answer is yes. So we have a tool that converts the BTM to TRFM. I should note that there are some inconsistencies, as in it may not be like 100% fidelity, and you can run that directly. So if your map has pages, you want to make sure that, hey, it lands up as pages in the TRFM. If something is not supported, we would make sure that we generate a build error as opposed to silently ignoring. So we have ensured, but the tool itself is a revision that gets updated as we go along. Yeah.
You
Right. So right now, the functionality is XML to XML. So the example that I gave earlier on CSV is something that's supported today, and we do a flat file wizard getting an SSD out of a CSV and doing an XML to XML mapping. Longer term, we would want to recognize an object to object mapping, so it's not like you would need an SSD, but it's an object structure where you can use the object structure with the inner elements and map it to your whatever is on the right. It could be an XML or another object itself. Yeah, so that's a good question. The question is, hey, do you have the Converse where I can take the TRFM and make it available on the BizTalk server LAN? So the intent is longer term, we'll have the same functionality like the one BizTalk that I mentioned. We want to have a single transform, be it BTM or TRFM, we just want. So yes, one of the feedback we did receive was, hey, can I use that functionality back in the server LAN? And we are looking at that. Okay, so let me go to the remaining functionality. We have about 30 minutes, a good deal to cover. So routing, it's the content-based routing, right? So you specify a filter expression in SQL 92 syntax. This is similar to what you would use in your topic when you're using subscriptions. And what we also support is taking those properties and writing it back to the destinations that we already mentioned. So the picture on the right is a UI illustration from Visual Studio where you specify the property, product type Windows, only then you route the message to that destination. There's a SOAP action where you're trying to insert something to the database on-premise. We'll see that in a demo later in the day. Okay, so we also support B2B messaging. I'm not going to go way deeper into this, so there's a dedicated session today at 5 p.m. Please attend that, and we'll have a lot more details on what and why of B2B services. We support X12, like I said, a whole set of acts, batching. There is the web-based interface that you see for managing the agreements, partners, creation of the flow, defining tracking, viewing tracking, delete, redeploy, the whole manageability interface around B2B. So that's coming in detail later today. Okay, so this is more about messaging, right? Now, simple AI, XML messaging, B2B messaging. The third interesting piece is hybrid connectivity. How do I connect to my line of business systems on-premise? So this is a quick illustration. So you have a cloud application that talks to a bridge, and you have a bunch of destinations that it supports, service bus, blob, rest of the HTTP, SFTP, FTP, and whatnot. And you also have your line of business systems, SQL, SAP, Sybase, all of those, Oracle, DB, all of the line of business systems adapters. So we provide a BizTalk adapter service. So this is a local installation on your on-premise systems. So this exposes your, there's an endpoint that's exposed on service bus using relays, and you connect those relays back to your ERP system. So there's a wizard that we define that you can run on your local system that instantiates a service that can expose a relay to that bridge. And you can route the messages into your line of business systems. And we also have a management surface where you can manage that endpoint configuration using the Server Explorer in Visual Studio, or you can use PowerShell scripts. Right? We'll see this in the demo as well. Okay, so what we will do is we looked at a bunch of concepts, right? We started off with saying, hey, what is BizTalk service deployment? Then we're saying, hey, what are the concepts within it? Now, let's put the two in action, right? We'll put the two in action and then define the whole multi-channel sales integration. So what this demo is about is you have Conteso, who's large retail chain which has a mainframe backend line of business system, so that's legacy data. So you have input coming from their retail stores. They're like transaction logs on a daily basis. They update into their inventory systems. And there is also an online portal where they take in the data and update their backend systems. So this is coming from their partner. And the format can be pretty much anything. It can be an EDI if it comes from a partner. If it's it can come from XML, or if it's from a retail store, it can come as a flat file, right? To complicate things, so that's the first part of the problem. To complicate things, I can have one over AS2, another over HTTP, yet another coming over FTP. So it can vary in terms of what transport it can accept. To simplify things, it currently is something like this. So, you know, there's a bunch of X connections. For each connection, you would have to do your own changes coming in directly to the mainframe. So what we're going to do is use protocol bridging. So we're going to put a bridge, make the transformation so everybody on the LHS connects to my bridge in the center. I transform it, and I directly connect to my line of business systems using my desktop adapter service. And I also have enabled security so that only I can connect to the Conteso line of business system. I can scale the system when I want. And there's also a manageability for that whole Windows Azure BizTalk services component, right? So let's look at this in a quick demo. So the way I start off with is I go to Visual Studio, file new project, and I can create a BizTalk service project. That's how I start off with. I have created a project here. And what I have done is I have configured a bridge. So if I go to Toolbox, I have my XML one-way bridge. So I've drag and dropped my one-way bridge. Let me double click into this. And I have it defined saying, hey, what are the message types it accepts? So there are a bunch of XML files, a bunch of XSDs. And I also have defined maps for each of those message types. And in here, I have routed the message into my line of business systems, the relay endpoint. I'll come to this in a minute. And the source of this message is FTP, where I have named the entity and given the credentials for the username password. It's FTP without SSL. And if I click on this link, the link that connects this bridge to my LOB, you can see that the condition is 1 = 1, so route all messages. And if I look at the route action, I've defined a SOAP action that says insert into, set the SOAP action into this. So the SOAP action is used when I'm inserting a record into my line of business system. And what my line of business system is, if I go to Server Explorer, this is where I manage my BizTalk adapter service. What I have done is right-click and say add SQL target. SQL is my on-prem LOB. You're presented with a wizard that says, hey, how do you define the endpoint? So you click next, establish the credentials of your system. So it's a local system that's running on my Windows credential. Click next. You should see the different tables. This is my order table. And here you can specify the credentials on what should be used every time you connect to this. You can connect using my Windows credentials. And I also say, how do you expose it? Do you use a new relay or you use an existing relay? And I give a subpath for my connection. So this becomes my connectivity URL for my runtime. Okay, so the question or the suggestion is here on the operation. So when you connect to the database, you can see the list of operations like insert, update, delete, and select. So these are the SOAP action information that you pass in, saying that, hey, when someone connects with a credential that's valid and the SOAP action is one of this, you are doing this operation. Like in this case, I have selected all of this. You can choose to show individual operations, like let's say you want to do insert. You can see that the schema here shows the insert operation as part of your incoming request, right? In this case, it's a bigger structure with all insert, select, and update. So once that is done, you can see the summary, and you say create, and you can create an endpoint here, that's SQL 2 that we created. In this case, I'm using SQL INST 1. You can drag and drop this structure, the relay endpoint here, and you can connect that into your pipeline, right? So that's pretty much what I have done. So I have my end-to-end setup done. I have also deployed this just for the sake of time. What would happen is all the artifacts in your project will be deployed into the bridge configuration. So all of the artifacts that I have here, my XSDs and transforms, would go into my artifact store. And I also have schemas generated from line of business system. I can right-click here and say, add schemas to AI. This essentially generates the schema format, you know, the insert, the one that I showed you in the pop-up window. It generates those XSDs that I can use in my transforms, as well as it says what's the payload that's actually being written into my LOB endpoint. Okay, so once this is done, you can note that there's a runtime address for the bridge. And let me use the message sender application. I have flat file configured. So in my message sender application, I'm going to say that I've given the credentials. Note that I'm saying the content type is text.plain. And the data input is right here, data input.text. I've defined a CSV. And if I look at my DB, they're just three rows at the moment, right? So let me say today is 26.6. Okay. You know, I'm just making some changes so we get that reflected here. Save this, and let me run this tool. So this is actually posting a message into my endpoint. And the bridge is going to connect to the backend line of business systems. So this is running on the cloud. And this is going to connect back into my laptop and write the information back into my SQL DB. So that went through well. And you refresh, and you can see that today's date with the item ID that's been connected. So you have that information built in. There's also an EDI aspect to it. I'll defer that demo into the B2B demo that's coming up later in the day. I'll show that at 5 p.m. how you can extend that and the whole B2B information for that. You can also use, for example, the flow had FTP. So you can also post the message to that FTP endpoint, and you would also follow the similar path, and you would have the data in the system. With that, I would like to turn the presentations to my colleague from Codit. Please welcome Sam on stage. So, Sam. So Codit has gone live on BizTalk Services, and we would like to hear their experience with the product. Over to you, Sam.
Okay, thank you, Karthik. So I'm Sam van Houten from Belgium, working for Codit as CTO. So we are always focusing on integration and using Microsoft technology. So that's been BizTalk for 10 years. But more recently, we are looking into Service Bus and especially this Windows Azure BizTalk services. So we were the go-to-market partner in Europe on that. And we did that with our Codit Integration Cloud. So actually, that's our SaaS offering for customers where we provide integration as a service. So customers, you have a lot of customers who just want to outsource their integration. They don't want to have the technical knowledge. They don't want to have, you know, managing these servers and these licenses. So for them, we offer this platform as a service, and we add things on top of that. So we looked into the, we are using that for more than 2 years already, building a lot of custom things. But of course, we saw together with Microsoft what they are building, and we said, okay, let's move everything that we can to this new service that Microsoft is building, because we want to have as much as possible out of the box, stable things from the product team. And we want to build things on top of it, adding value. We talk about e-invoicing, we talk about reporting and all of that. Yeah? So that's what I will briefly explain. Also briefly, we have at this moment selected three customers running on the platform. So one of them is Marine Harvest from Norway. They are the biggest salmon producer in the world, 30% of the production. And they actually connect 15 different applications in 8 locations. So it's really, they have distributed data centers. They connect with the boats on the sea and all of that. So for that, cloud integration is a good thing. And their IT department is maybe 15 people big, and they are focusing on analysis. So they want to have all of that outsourced. I really wanted to have some business visibility reports. The second one is Zespri. You might know them. They are the largest kiwi fruit producers. What they did, they are looking into e-invoicing. So a lot of customers have EDI requirements for them if they want to ship. So they said, okay, let's have a comparison. Let's see how much it costs nowadays for a paper invoice. And now with the electronic invoice, you know, they have fast delivery of the invoice. And of course, it's a decrease of the price to handle an invoice by 50%. So that's something very nice for them. And what's also very important, they wanted to get some trust. So they started small with a few invoices to one of the selected partners. They see it's working, and then they can grow big. So that's one of the big advantages there for cloud, especially. And then the one that we went live with yesterday was S&T Shipping. So they are actually a customer that had quite some pain points recently, because they were not automated at all. So they had different systems to handle the purchase orders and the invoices. They were actually printing these invoices, delivering them to another department who was manually typing them in. So you know, that's the obvious customer where you can automate things. They also didn't have visibility and all of that. And of course, a lot of errors occurred. So that was the customer that we said, okay, let's take that one and put it on Windows Azure BizTalk services. So now a little bit on the architecture. What we have our own integration worker role. So that's a thing that is doing connectivity, that is running workflows. We persist the messages to our tracking store, and we leverage BizTalk services, so Windows Azure BizTalk services, so the bridges, the thing that Kartik just mentioned, with all the transformations and all of that. So that's what we consume from our platform, and of course the EDI capabilities. We started with running a BizTalk server locally in the data center, but now we will bring that to the PaaS platform from Microsoft. Next to that, we actually combine Service Bus, Azure Service Bus, with Azure Storage, SQL, Azure, and the worker roles. So that's all combined into one solution. Then local connectivity, because we're all BizTalk people, we know that it's very important to connect it to local systems. There's not any company that has everything in the cloud, so you need to be able to connect locally. So one of the things is the adapter service that Kartik just showed, you know, with the SQL statements. So that's one of the things that we use. And another system that we often use is the Cloud Connector. So that's a similar service that we custom built, but that's also possible to pull on files locally and send them to the cloud, or to deliver things on file, FTP. So it's an extensible thing. And we can manage that from the cloud, but you will see that in a demo. So if you look at SMT Shipping itself, what they had their Netherlands data center, and they have a data center in Cyprus, where their financial systems are. So the connectivity between them, between these data centers, was not out of the box. So there's no you know, LAN connectivity there. So they went through the cloud. So we receive orders, invoices, reversals, and all of that. We validate them, transform them, and track them. We make sure that we extract all these properties that also Kartik showed with the bridges. So we extract the business properties, and we use them to provide reports. And of course, at the end, we need to route them based on content and deliver them to the local platform. Now I'll switch to my computer, because I think it's good to give a little demo here. So let's first of all start by showing what we have at the front end. So this is the portal that we provide. So this portal can be accessed for our customers. And provide some reporting and things like that. So you can log on with the user or integrate it with your Active Directory, depending on the settings. And then you select one of the tenants you want to connect with. So I will connect with the SMT, with the production system there. and automatically you get some reporting, some message metrics like how many messages did we have. What's very nice to see here is this graph on this side, where you can see that the data is really growing for them. So that's a typical cloud platform where they can easily scale. One of the things that was very important for them was to get some insight. Right? They want to outsource their integration, but they want to have a visibility on what's going on. They don't want to have the technical complexity, but still it shouldn't be a black box. They need to know what's going on. So for them, what we do is schedule this report, and they get this report with all their transactions every day by email. So we have, we are using these extracted properties that we do in the bridges. Of course, a lot of things are, they have to be configured. So if you have FTP locations, if you have all of these settings, we need to configure them. So that's what we do in the integration portal. If you have the rights, so if your user has the rights on that specific application or that specific role, you can go and configure. For example, here we are picking up from a local system with the cloud connector. Then we execute this bridge. So this is a bridge that we execute on the Windows Azure BizTalk services. And you can configure things. If you would like to pull on, for example, a SharePoint Online library, you can configure these items. There's also one thing with the matching subscription, so you can check it if you want to have that, yes or no. We also make sure that we store everything. So all the routing that happens, our message box, that's actually a service bus topic. So we combine service bus with the Windows Azure BizTalk services for the message handling there. For example, here, if you want to send to this one, you can see the subscription that we set on this platform, okay? One of the things that I also wanted to show was this cloud connector. So we wanted to have, or we knew that we needed to have an on-premises thing, the cloud connector or the adapter service, but we really wanted to have the capabilities to manage that from the cloud, because we don't want to log on to the servers of that customer, because it's not always possible. So what we said, okay, let's expose these items. So for example here, the Cypress client connector, we can connect to that, we can see it's enabled, we can stop, start, and we can configure that service from the cloud. So we can set these settings here for the receiver, so we see he's receiving on a service bus relay endpoint, and then he's delivering to a file server. So these are the things that we can easily manage from the cloud without going to these items for the customer. So for example, one of the things that is very important for them is to have some visibility. So based on the user credentials again, it might be that you get some tracking capabilities. So you can group and things like that. So for example, what we see here, we can go and dive into an order, and we see the visual representation of what happened. So we can see that indeed we picked up an order, then we have some workflow that was processed, and behind these things, we have Windows Azure BizTalk services, so we have bridges that are used for transformation and all of these items. We can watch the messages that have been processed and so on. One of the things that, and I'm now switching to our demo environment, because I showed Zespri, I cannot show the production system because of its invoices. So what I want to show is the e-invoicing capabilities. So for them, they have EDI needs, but for them it's very important to show that the invoices are persisted, that the MDN, for example, for AS2, that they have that for legal reasons. So one of the things that we needed to provide for them was this view, so where if they have a financial audit from the tax service or something, that they can give access to two people from that service, so in a user-friendly portal. So if you click here, they can see a visual representation of that invoice, and they can see the actual file that was received. And of course, whenever the customer allows it, we make sure that it's signed and secured and all of that. And then we can see the data that gets sent out, this in this case, an EDI message. So again, behind the scenes, this again gets processed on Windows Azure BizTalk services, but we want to provide a full solution for these customers. Okay. One of the things that I'd like to show to finish with is a little bit in the technical details here. So this is an example of a bridge where we just have a two-way bridge, and you have a message coming in. We hand it to an endpoint, and we send the message back. So that's the way we consume these bridges from our platform. And one of the things that Kartik showed was you can have interceptors. So that's what we have here. I don't know if it's visible enough, but you have the on-enter inspector and the on-exit inspector. So doing BizTalk for more than 10 years, this immediately makes you think about pipelines and custom pipeline components. And with our company, we had a pipeline framework that had, I think, around 15 different pipeline components to create PDFs, sign them, to do database lookups and all of that. So we migrated that framework to Windows Azure BizTalk Services components. So we now have the same components, the same functionality available for WCF, BizTalk, and BizTalk Services. So that's very important. And that's the way we can configure it here. So you configure the, in this case, the transco activity with the settings that we provide over there. We just deploy it to our service, and we just are ready to consume it. This is the portal that I can show briefly. So you can see here, for example, that we have all these artifacts, so all our custom DLLs deployed. We have the schemas and so on. And you also have some tracking, so we can see some tracking events. And as Kartik mentioned, all these tracking data is in a custom database. The files are on your blob storage, so they are open for you to use, to extend, and to embed it in your own portal. And that's what we did. Okay? Let's now switch back to the presentation. So getting back to SMT, so they had these different pain points. And for them, the result of moving to this cloud-based integration was that 6 people are now saving up to 35% of their time. So they can be more efficient there. And more important is also that they have real-time synchronization. So as soon as an order gets created, updated, and whatever, it's immediately in the financial system. So that was very important. The business reporting, so they didn't really know what was going on behind the scenes back in the days. Now they really can get a nice overview using these promoted properties from the bridges. And we actually connect 4 different systems in 3 data centers. So again, it's growing. We are adding more and more services to it. Benefits for these customers are clear. Because it's cloud, it's a lower TCO. They have a different choice. They can pay per transaction, or they can pay a fixed price depending on their preferences. No license concerns, easy to grow, and they don't need to know anything about integration. They just give an analysis, and we develop it for them. For us, it was a very nice thing as a CSV or an ISV, depending on how you look at it. We can offer integration as a service using the cloud platforms. So the things that we work together with Microsoft, with Windows Azure BizTalk Services, you know, it's very stable. Once you have it deployed, it's fast, in my opinion. So you have low latency there in a lot of situations. And we can grow with the platform. So we have everything. We see Microsoft is constantly adding items to it. So we will adopt as soon as items come. It might be that we have some custom things already in the box that we will replace by what Microsoft has. But we already offer an end-to-end solution from the beginning. And with that, I think I can hand the word back to Kartik. Unless you have any questions, yes?
Yeah, we encounter any limitations because we think that they might have been visible in this talk, for example, use for workflow or rules or something like that?
So with workflow, we use not BizTalk orchestrations, but, you know, workflow, WebF. And there we make sure that we have in-memory workflows, and if we need to persist, we use service bus topics. So we really look at service bus topics as the BizTalk message box, and we loop around these topics to, you know, you've seen that that chart, the flow replay. That's what we really do. Every link goes over that specific topic.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
So in a nutshell, right, so what you saw from Sam was it's easy to build a config-driven experience. You have extensibility. You can build your end-to-end integration solutions, and Microsoft takes care of the PaaS offering of BizTalk Services as a managed service. We guarantee SLAs. My ask to you is do try out the preview. It's still open, and we would love to hear your feedback. There's a bunch of stuff, especially around custom code, around transforms. We would love to hear your feedback on the what and why. Do try it out and let us know. We are there on the forums. There's a bunch of help links here. You can try out the bits and do let us know your feedback. There are also a bunch of related sessions. The one I would call out is the B2B collaboration on Windows Azure scheduled for later today. There is also an integration vision and roadmap session where you would hear about our intention to be agile, both on the server side and on services. That's scheduled for tomorrow. Server session was earlier today. Hybrid session is ongoing, and we also have the IAS and the server session from Guru scheduled for this week. Feel free to reach us out offline. We are also on mail and Twitter. We'd love to hear your feedback. With that, I would like to conclude my presentation. We are available offline.